Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. The Bible is full of positive things, things that even make us feel good at times. And people like to major on the feel-good things. People love to exalt and talk about all the things that encourage us or make us feel good and so on in life. But I would say to you this morning that the Bible is also full of warnings. Mm-hmm. And we find one of those times in this text before us this morning. This passage that we've read here is a warning, actually. And it's a warning coming from the Holy Spirit of God to men. And the warnings are addressed to men because men are responsible and accountable to God. Men are accountable with moral responsibility to God for what He has given to us. We speak of the gospel, and the gospel being the good news. And the gospel is the good news, but the gospel is something that is to be accepted and obeyed by men. It's more than a publication of good news. It's more than an invitation for lost souls to come to Christ for relief and peace. The gospel is actually a divine mandate. It's a divine mandate that has an authoritative command behind it. And I want you to look in Romans chapter 16. Keep your place here. In Hebrews, we'll get back to this in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 16, in verse 25, Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The gospel is a command of the everlasting God for the obedience of faith. The consequence for failing to obey the divine mandate of God will be divine punishment. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The gospel demands obedience to it. And when there's going to be a changed life. There's going to be desire to please Christ. It'll be progressive in your life, a desire that grows and grows to please the Lord Jesus Christ more in your daily life and experience. And what I'm saying to you this morning in our text, Hebrews chapter 2, we have a warning regarding the things that we've heard. We have a warning regarding obedience. We have a warning regarding not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has warnings. We see warning signs all over in our culture. You see warning signs on streets. You see warning labels on products, etc. Why are there warnings? Warnings are important because they warn of danger. But God has warnings. And warnings are designed by God to face men with God, whom the Bible says is a consuming fire. Warnings that God gives are to teach men to fear the Lord as well as to love Him. And we're going to look at a couple of things in this passage. But when it comes to the warnings of God, there are warnings for saved people, there are warnings for lost people. Warnings for saved people. A truly saved person will never lose their salvation. They can never be lost. But a saved person can become indifferent to spiritual realities. A saved person can lose a sense of service to the Lord, a sense of love for Christ. A saved person can become consumed in themselves and in the pride of their own conceit, lose sight of what is important and what their purpose is. We can become indifferent to spiritual realities, and when that happens, a saved person needs a warning to cause him to push on in faith. A saved person needs a warning that he might prove and demonstrate the reality of his faith in Christ. There are warnings for lost people. There's always the possibility a person could be someone who professes the Lord Jesus Christ with only the externals of Christianity, but no reality in their soul. And because they're not genuinely saved, they need a warning to shake them to the realities of Christ, that He might truly work in their life, that they might believe and be saved. God gives warnings. And we thank the Lord actually for His warnings. Amen. Well, this passage before us this morning is a warning, and we're going to make some application for saved people and lost people, if you'll follow me this morning as we work through these verses. But let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to bless His word. The title of the message is Give the More Earnest Heed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use Your word today in the hearts of men, and I can't see into the hearts of people. Some here are lost. Most, many are saved. Even inside the heart of a saved person, there can be some indifference, there can be some coldness, there can be pride. Lord, I pray that You would work to accomplish Your will in every heart. Lord, for the lost man or woman, Lord, may they be convicted of their sin. May they be drawn to You today for the glory of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, note with me in verse 1 the danger of drifting. In verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I want you to note the word therefore. The very first word, therefore. That statement means that what he's about to say next is based on what he has just said previously. Everybody understand that? So he said, made a statement previously, now he's saying, therefore, here's how it's going to apply, or here's what we mean. So it's based on what he has just said previously, and you say, well, okay, well, what has he just said previously? Well, in chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1, it was shown that Jesus Christ is superior to all the Old Testament prophets and to angels. In verse 1 of chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So in various ways and in different means, God has spoken to people. He spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. And so, in chapter 1 of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is stating that Jesus Christ is superior to all the Old Testament prophets. He's superior to angels. In fact, he's God in the flesh. He's the creator of this world. He's all of these things. Chapter 1 shows us that Jesus Christ is the most glorious, supreme person of the universe. He's the creator. He is the sustainer. He's the heir of all things. He is the king of kings. He's the ruler of all. That's who Jesus Christ is. Christ is the God-man, infinitely superior over all creatures. He's also the redeemer. And because Jesus Christ is a superior person who has done a superior work of redemption, we should give heed to the salvation that he has provided for all who will trust in him by faith. He says, therefore, because Jesus is this, here's what it means. Now notice the word ought. Therefore we ought. The word ought means must. The word does not mean a suggestion. It is the moral responsibility that mankind give heed to the gospel. We are accountable to God. We're accountable to God to repent and to trust in Jesus Christ, to prove the reality of Christ in our faith, and to show that even by our good works, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We're morally accountable. It's a must. Therefore, we ought, must give the more earnest heed. That phrase, the more earnest heed, it means to pay close attention to. We're exhorted to give attention, abundant attention, to the gospel of Jesus Christ more than anything else. The writer of Hebrews was writing to Hebrew saints, and he's saying that the gospel is more important even than the Old Testament law. These Hebrew believers had heard the gospel, surely. But it is also true that some were not heeding it, that they were not giving much attention or consideration to it. And the application is pretty simple. There are a lot of people like that today. Maybe even in this room. To give heed literally means to apply to the mind. In other words, it's not just enough to hear the gospel. People sit under the preaching of the gospel. They hear the gospel, but there's got to be some personal appropriation of the gospel. A person must personally receive Christ as Savior and Lord and commit their life to Him, to yield to Him. It's not enough to sit through preaching. It's not enough to know about the gospel. There are more people that stay lost because of indifference or carelessness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably than anything else. They're indifferent because they don't realize the danger that they're in outside of Jesus Christ. Somebody can hear the preaching of God's word. They can even be stirred in their soul. They can be convicted in their soul of their need of salvation. And they can have this fight, this conflict going on in their soul to yield to the Lord or to admit what I really am and to surrender to God and truly be saved or no. Some people fight, I want to control my life. I don't want to let the Lord control my life. I don't want to be told what to do. There's all kinds of battles that people face in their heart and their mind. But the battle is one thing, but what people are not focusing on or realizing is, what is the consequence? What is the danger of not obeying the gospel? Indifferent to it. That's how they can sit through preaching services after preaching services on the gospel and never be moved. They're indifferent because they don't realize the danger there. And I was talking to a young man not that long ago about the need to be saved, and his statement was an interesting one, in that he knew the Lord was dealing with him, but he hadn't come to the place of really surrendering to the Lord. And even though we were having this conversation, there was still this tug of war going on in his soul. And he said, well, I need to pray about it. But you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to pray about whether or not you need to be saved. You wouldn't be saying, I need to pray about whether or not I should leave my house that's on fire. I don't need to take the time to pray about whether or not I should get out of this burning building. The reason that kind of thought process goes through his head, a man's head or a person's head, is because they don't realize the danger that they're in outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more people stay lost because of indifference and carelessness than anything else. And they don't realize what the danger that they're in. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Apply it to the mind. Apply it to the life. To the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That phrase or that thought, lest at any time we should let them slip, it literally means to flow by. But it carries the idea of a ship that is drifting past the harbor because of the carelessness, maybe, of the captain. That's the kind of the idea behind it. And when you apply it to the truth of the gospel, carelessness in handling the truth of God, carelessness in handling the truth of who Christ is going to lead to drifting away and missing the safety of the harbor. It was not the truth of Christ that was in danger of slipping. It's the person who is in danger of slipping. The writer of Hebrews says, based on the supremacy of Christ, based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we must give earnest heed to the things that we've heard. We must make application in our life, lest we miss the safety of the harbor. And what I'm saying is, this morning, if a person does not see the Lord Jesus Christ as God in the flesh, if he does or she does not see Jesus Christ as the only Redeemer for their soul, if there's indifference about it, there's danger. There's a danger of drifting away. I wonder how many people have been convicted of their need of salvation over the centuries of mankind, but they kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until finally, because the Bible says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with men, until finally God stops speaking and they drift away to an eternity without Christ because they didn't give heed. What must a person do to drift? Absolutely nothing. When we do nothing with Christ, when we know about Him, we drift from the truth, and our soul is in danger. And this doesn't say that those who've been redeemed by Christ can be lost, certainly not. The warning is to those who've heard the gospel, but who will not obey it. They won't take hold of it. They won't allow the gospel to impact their life. They won't lay hold of the truth of Christ. And I wonder if the Spirit of God, even week after week, speaks to a heart. That's you. This is you. You need this. You need salvation. Maybe you have a profession of faith. Maybe you are a religious person, or you think that you're, you know, doing okay with God because you come to church on Sunday. And the Spirit of God is compelling something inside of your soul, but you keep pushing it aside and pushing it aside week after week. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to preach to people week after week and see that there are people who are constantly exposed to truth that you know this would change their life, but they won't give heed to it. The gospel is carelessly heeded, and their soul is in danger. And the Word of God tells us we must make application, lest at any time we should let them slip, lest we miss the safety of the harbor. Secondly, I want you to note then the warning to drifters in verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Here's the warning. He says if the words that were spoken by angels was steadfast, that those things came true, every transgression and disobedience received the recompense of reward, meaning what was deserved for them. How in the world can a person escape if we neglect so great salvation? Those who turn aside from Christ is the only way of salvation. They're not going to escape God's judgment. And the writer of Hebrews says that if the law even brought sure judgment, what's going to happen to the person who spurns the Son of God? You know, knowledge of the gospel, understanding or knowing the gospel doesn't lessen danger. It actually increases a person's danger. The gospel doesn't diminish, but it terribly intensifies the severeness of the punishment for the one who rejects it. The consequences of indifference to Christ or carelessness toward Christ and rejection of Christ is devastating. To neglect the gospel is to refuse God's only means of salvation. And the consequence of that is eternal punishment. One person said this: can any man perish more justly than they who refuse to be saved? You understand what he means by that? When you have opportunity and God is gracious, can any man perish more justly than the one who refuses to heed the call? Those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, escape is impossible. That's what he's saying. Because there is no other way of salvation except through Christ. And it's an urgent and a solemn warning. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sin, you live. Or you face the eternal consequence of rejection. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a so great salvation that Christ brought to mankind. We have so great a salvation because it's divine. It's God's plan. It's complete. There's nothing left to do. It's finished. It's free to those who would believe. It cost the Lord something, but it's free to you. It's sufficient for all. There's never a time when you can lose it. It's eternal. Amen. But the ultimate reason that it's so great is that salvation is found in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. This salvation, if neglected, leaves no escape. That's the warning that God Himself gives to mankind. I want you to look at the second part of verse 3 and into verse 4. And here is the confirmation to drifters. He says in verse 3 regarding this great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Notice how he says after it was at the first spoken by the Lord. In verse 3, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ, and this salvation in Jesus Christ was preached by Christ himself. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel has the authority of Jesus Christ. He says it first began to be preached by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. It was confirmed unto us by those who heard him. The gospel of Christ was confirmed by the apostles who had been with the Lord. The gospel has the authority of Jesus Christ. The gospel has the authority of the apostles. The message they preached was of God. And then verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. The gospel ultimately has the authority of God himself behind it. And God himself is commanding all men everywhere to repent. Men dare not reject the gospel of Jesus Christ with so much authority behind it. My prayer in my heart is that those who have heard the gospel so many times, but you're still not saved, that your heart and mind would be open to the warning that God is giving. How are you going to escape if you neglect this salvation that God is offering you? Last week we talked about it's appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9:27, the death is coming for all men. But death is not just physical death. The second death is spiritual death, separation from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. How are you going to escape if you don't give heed to what God is saying to your soul regarding salvation? You're not going to escape, friend. Don't be indifferent to the gospel. A message like this you should not be able to sit in church and laugh and play or have your mind drifting. There's a warning to drifters. Your soul is at stake. I'll conclude here this morning with a couple of applications for saved people and for unsaved people. For the saved person, for those of us who are truly saved, we need to remember these warnings as well. It's a warning given to all who profess Christ. And as a follower of Christ, we also need to heed the warning to not let ourselves slip. And we may not lose our salvation, but we certainly can be indifferent to the things of God. And we must not be careless ourselves or indifferent to Christ, to the Word of God, lest we fail even to prove the reality of Christ in our lives. And why is that important? Because there are others. There are those who need the Lord. How are they going to hear? How are they going to know? Except for God's people living the reality of Christ in their life. Our faith should not just be in words. Our faith needs to be demonstrated and lived. We cannot neglect either so great salvation. You know how we neglect so great salvation? Maybe not, again, in the sense of losing it, but friend, we can be indifferent to our Bible reading. We can be indifferent and careless in prayer. We can be slothful in witness. We can be absorbed into worldly pursuits that cause a coldness of heart to the things of God. Even true believers can drift at times. But in so doing, if and when we do, we ought to experience the stern but loving discipline of our Heavenly Father. We have a warning to take heed as well. And then there's an application for the unsaved, of course. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have heard the gospel. Maybe you've even made some kind of superficial profession of Christ. But if your life is examined, there's no reality of Christ. There's no real desire to do His will. There's no real desire to be obedient to Him. If we were honest, you'd say there's no real love for God. You can live your week according to however you want, but then on Sunday we come to church and we got to worship God. But the rest of the week, there's no demands of Christ in your life. My friend, a profession of "I believe in Jesus" is not the same as salvation, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're in danger. You'll not escape God's eternal wrath because there's no salvation outside of a relationship with Christ that comes through repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And if you neglect or push off the Spirit of God and what He's doing in your life, you're not going to escape. Death comes for every man. We talked about it last week. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow, because we don't know what a day may bring forth. And if you neglect Christ, you're in danger of permanently losing your soul. And if that's your spiritual condition, what you need to do is flee immediately to Christ in repentance of sin, putting your faith in Him. What you need to do is humble yourself and yield to the will of God. And if you do, He'll save you. If you give earnest heed to what He's doing in your life and not neglect the salvation that He's offering, He'll save your soul. He'll transform your life. The gospel is more than just come to Jesus and find relief. The gospel has a divine mandate behind it. God is commanding, and we are responsible to yield to Him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Give the more earnest heed. Apply it in your life and in your mind. God is speaking to some hearts again today. What are you going to do with the warning that God gives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that You'd use Your Word. And each week we consider the gospel on some level. Each week we preach about the need of salvation. We explain the gospel. We explain the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We explain repentance of sin. We explain the natural condition of man, that we're corrupt, we're defiled. As we come into this world, we need a Savior. We explain that salvation is not by works, that we can't earn favor with God, but the redemption of our soul was made because Jesus Christ gave His life, shed His blood, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. We explain all that salvation will do, how it'll change a man's life, and we're new creations in Christ Jesus. And we walk through the Word of God and we explain each week, and gradually, over time, there's an understanding of the gospel, an understanding of our need of Jesus Christ. And at the same time that we do all of that, we also need to explain that death is coming for all men. But that's not the end. Our soul lives forever. And as much as the good news of the gospel is, the Word of God also gives a warning if it's neglected. So, Lord, I pray that You would work in hearts today of those who've never been saved, but they've heard the preaching of the gospel over and over and over again. Draw them to Yourself. Lord, I pray for the saved individual. Lord, that we would not come to a point of in our Christian life where we forget how great this salvation is. And we drift in our spiritual life, forgetting what we were and what God has saved us from. Where we are today because of the grace and mercy of God in our life. Lord, may we be drawn to Christ again, deeper in love with Him. Thank You for Your Word, and we pray, Lord, that You'd use